The epistle appointed for this, the sixth Sunday after Epiphany, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we give thanks to God always for you all, continually making a remembrance of you in our prayers, being mindful before God and our Father of your work of faith and labor and charity and your enduring hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, brethren, beloved of God, how you were chosen. For our gospel was not delivered to you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much fullness, as indeed you know what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you become imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great tribulation, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became a pattern to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you the word of the Lord had been spread abroad, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also at every place your faith in God has gone forth, so that we need say nothing further. For they themselves report concerning us how we entered among you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to await from heaven Jesus, his Son, whom he has raised from the dead, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. This indeed is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it grows up, it is larger than any herb and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a leaven, which a woman took and buried in 3 measures of flour, until all of it was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and without parables he did not speak to them, that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Brethren, we give thanks to God always for you all, continually making a remembrance of you in our prayers. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the epistle this morning, St. Paul is praising the Thessalonians for their conversion to the true faith, and that everywhere they went, expressing this faith, even amongst tribulation, was of admiration to those who saw them. And this can only be done by good example. And as St. Paul points out, how for our gospel not only delivered you in word only, but in power also and in the Holy Spirit, so that everywhere they went, people could see something's different, something's altered. And so they begin to start asking questions. How is this? What are you doing? It's kind of like in the beginning when Saint Benedict started his monasteries. He had the same situation, barbarians, people that believe in pagan false gods and whatnot. And that's what they did to him too. What are you doing? What's so important? And rather telling him about it, he showed him a new way of living. Not so much giving into the physical senses of everything, but in a new spiritual way. A new way of walking towards God in spirit and in truth. Not giving in to our pleasures of the flesh and such like. And slowly but surely, these people start turning around, learning to pray, learning to work, not for themselves, but for the love of God. And no doubt the Thessalonians were doing the same thing here. Everything was now refocused on God and working to please God. So every day, this goes on, month after month, year after year, you can see that the growth of the Catholic faith, Christian faith, was growing and growing and growing. And that's exactly how our Lord intends it. In his gospel, we find little strange parables because our Lord really never tells us what heaven is really like. But he gives it in a parable to show that with the growth of the church and how we walk towards heaven, that it will start off with one little seed. And from there, it will progress slowly but surely, continue on growing and growing and growing. But it's got to have a starting point. And our Lord's going to introduce to the Jews the fulfillment of their religion. And that fulfillment started with the parables. Because a lot of them were hard, stiff-necked, and wouldn't want to listen anyway. So he had to rearrange his thinking to bring it down to earth, so to speak. Your common daily duties that people do. The farmer to go out and sow his seed. The woman to make a loaf of bread, and how that is done. And through the grace of God, yes, things progress. The crops grow, the leavened bread becomes more, and such like. But our Lord also wants to make sure that the disciples that are hearing this keep it simple. Keep it simple. The kingdom of heaven is a mysterious place. Our Lord always speaks about it in right hand of the Father and such like. And we do see some resemblance, for instance, when he was up on the mountain and his clothes became bright as the sun and shiny and all that. So we get kind of a little glimpse of what it is there, what it might be like. But our Lord keeps this from our hearts and minds for a purpose. For a good reason. Because when the day comes, when we do finally enter that kingdom, he'll show us something that will just dazzle our eyes and our minds. A beauty and a peace that we cannot even fathom. But until that time, we have to be working out our salvation, working on strengthening our faith, especially in these times, trying to stay as close as we can to the good Lord, suffering whatever he brings in our lives, it doesn't matter what it is, to offer that back up to him. After all, look how much he has suffered for us, and how much do we really give back to him? And we know it's precious little. But our Lord does everything for a reason. Even these days and times, I'm sure a lot of us ask, why does he keep allowing so much to happen? Day in and day out, day in and day out. And of course, he already answered this question by the parable of the cockle and the wheat. Our Lord is hoping for one of these cockles, weeds, whatever you want to call them, to convert. And once that's done, then that's a plus. How can we change the cockle to wheat? If we can't persuade him with words, then all we have left is good example. That's it. And for the love of God, we must give it. Every day of our lives, nonstop. This is how we're going to convert the world again, if possible. That's the only way to do it. We can't just worry so much about ourselves, but it's who we come in contact with. What do they see in me? What do I see in you? This is what is going to go on in their minds. Do I want to be like that? Dress like that? Talk like that? Act like that? Because we do not know what impression we give on anybody when we're in contact with them. So we always got to be, not necessarily on our guard, but at least conscientious of trying to say and do the right thing at the proper time. But dress and behavior speaks volumes. That alone speaks volumes. Other than that, we've got to learn to persevere in our prayers. The power of prayer. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. It's so important. As I said in the first sermon this morning, that the abbot used to get phone calls sometimes late in the night, sometimes even at 1 o'clock in the morning, on people that live many, many miles away from a church. Of course, down there's hardly any traditional churches that are within hundreds of miles of each other. But anyhow, they would call up and cry, saying, "Father, I haven't been to confession for a long time, and I haven't been to church even longer, and I'm scared. I don't know what to do." Now, any one of us can be in this situation. What are you to do? First of all, everything really starts from what's in my heart. So I make a sincere act of contrition, telling the good Lord that I am truly sorry for all my sins, mortal and venial, and at the first opportunity, I'll take care of this. That takes care of penance. Going to church. For any reason, when we miss Mass, we should try to spend at least almost up to an hour, if we can, saying the Mass prayers, reciting our rosary, doing some spiritual reading, making acts of spiritual communion, and such like. This takes care of the sacrament for Holy Communion, and such like. This is how we will exercise our faith in times of crisis, if it comes to that. That we may not have a priest around to give us absolution, and not to let the devil have sway and put us in a panic mode where we just start losing it because we don't know what to do. You do now. It all starts from me. And that's what our Lord reads the heart. He knows if we're truly sorry. He knows that what we're going to do, and at the proper times, take care of it. He'll be there. He will help us. He will never abandon us. Every day we get up and we tell the good Lord that we're going to do the things we're going to do for the love of Him. That should be our primary intention. That everything I do is for the love of God. And after that, there's nothing more to worry about. Everything else is secondary. But we have to keep that in mind. For the love of God, I do the things that I do. I have to become simple. I have to become humble. I want to be charitable. I have to become charitable. I have to become patient. Otherwise, my life is just going to go on from one misery to another until I learn this. Because why? Our Lord's going to keep putting stumbling blocks in the way until I learn it. The whole thing of conversion to faith is putting on the new man, and putting on the new man's, we have to change. The saints look at the lives that they lived and the sufferings that they endured because they love God. They fasted sometimes days at a time. They prayed sometimes the whole night through. We're not expected to do that extreme, but that's how grace works in certain individuals. But that's the example that we really should be following as best we can. The more we deny ourselves, and the more we keep trying to know, love, and serve our good Lord, the more graces we're going to get. Remember, it's not about me or you. It's all about God. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ, every bit of it. We are servants to Him. And He even reminds us about our love, because He's told His apostles, and when He tells His apostles, He basically tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And how often do we break these commandments? But our Lord continues to tell us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Strive to do that. All of them. Because in the end game, what is most important? To win the whole world and lose everything, or to lose everything for the love of God? Remember the rich young man? He had lots of goodies, I tell you. And our Lord told him to go sell all that and give it to the poor. And of course, he was a young man. Give up everything? Everything that my father sweated for, you want me to give it all up? Yes, I do. And because of his attachment to worldly things, he walked away sad. And then here comes the warning. It's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven because of that. We have to be detached of everything. And the only attachment we need to have is our good Lord Himself and the gifts and graces He gives us. So outside that, along with love comes gratitude. Be thankful for everything, all the time. Thank the good Lord for all the graces He gives you, for the things that He has given you. Always give thanks. St. Paul says that a million times, and he's right. Lots of times we forget about that. To give thanks to the good Lord. We don't want Him to complain like He did to the 10 lepers. Where are the other 9? Weren't you all cured? And what comes back is this foreigner who's not even part of our religion? And our Lord says that your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That's how we have to persevere and thank Him for everything. And for those of you who didn't get a chance to go to confession, I'll hear them after Mass. So may God bless you. Stay strong in your prayers, in your faith. Keep up the good works. This is a good fight, and we have to fight it to the end. And with the grace of God, you will succeed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.